Does reading a short statement mean you waive your constitutional right to remain silent? Yes, according to the Republican majority on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. IRS official Lois Lerner testified back in May on the targeting of political groups that applied for tax-exempt status. She raised lawmakers' ire by reading a prepared statement, then refusing to answer their questions, pleading the Fifth. The panel's Republicans say you can't have it both ways. In today's Legal Loop, we turn to John Mahoney, chairman of the Labor and Employment Practice at the law firm Tully Rinke, for some advice on what Fed should do if they're called to testify before Congress. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so did Lois Lerner make a mistake in making that statement, then claiming the Fifth? Was she within her rights to do that? What really happened?
Well, I really think she skirted the line very close to waiving her rights. The problem was that she actually denied having done anything wrong, which the Republicans on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee voted on the 28th of June actually constituted a waiver of her Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. And I think that's probably true. I think, you know, the smart thing would not have been to actually deny wrongdoing in her opening statement.
And so what kind of trouble is she in, and what recourse is there for Congress that wants more information at this point?
Well, if she's been subpoenaed, I'm sure she has been. We represent folks in congressional investigations as well. If she's received a subpoena that requires her to testify, because she's a federal official, she's required to answer any questions about her official duties as part of her job. If she refuses to do so, having been compelled to do so by Congress, then she can be disciplined up to and including removal. Now, what Congress typically does is they provide what we call a Garrity warning, meaning that, you know, if the person answers the Congress committee's questions, then they won't be subject to criminal prosecution. If she gets what is called a Garrity warning, then she's required to testify. If she doesn't get a Garrity warning, if she gets what's called a Beckwith warning, which does not guarantee that she won't be prosecuted for her statements or her underlying criminal conduct, then, you know, she has the right to remain silent. But the problem is she can't have it both ways. She can't remain silent and also, you know, deny wrongdoing. So I think she's going to be hauled back up to the Hill to be required to answer testimony or answer questions by the committee.
John Mahoney is the chairman of the Labor and Employment Practice at the law firm Tully Rinke. And this gets complicated because we haven't heard about these Garrity warnings and Beckwith warnings in simple old-fashioned malfeasance like the people testifying about conferences where they overspent and had silly movies made and so forth. Are those cases where you're just a lousy manager or steward of federal funds and services different from what happened at the IRS?
Well, you've got to look at these issues very broadly. When I represent employees and investigations, you've got to look at the issue very broadly. You know, is there any way that the person's conduct could lead to criminal prosecution? And that could involve fraud in terms of, you know, misuse of government funds if it's intentionally, you know, wrong. So you've got to really, you know, interpret these issues broadly. If there's any chance that the conduct could lead to criminal prosecution, either based upon false statements in a matter of official interest or, you know, fraud with regard to taxpayer dollars, then I advise my clients to remain silent. If the person is called to be questioned, the first question that I ask is this person's testimony voluntary or is it compelled? Is it required? If the government answers me that the person's testimony is compelled or required, then that automatically provides that person use immunity under the Fifth Amendment. They can't be prosecuted for other underlying misconduct. However, that requires them then to answer all questions posed to them by an investigator regarding their conduct. And if the conduct equals misconduct, they can be terminated from federal service. However, they cannot be prosecuted in that situation.
Yes, because I think it was at least Senator Warner and a couple of others came out very early on, right after the IRS revelations came out, and saying we should find the people that were responsible and fire them. So could that kind of statement, before really any fact-finding had occurred, scared away witnesses? Can that have the effect of scaring off people and saying, well, it's not just firing, this could make the leap to prosecution?
Well, you know, certainly they can be terminated if their misconduct is serious enough to merit termination under the MSPB's case law under the Douglas versus Veterans Administration decision. But the issue then becomes, you know, is their testimony compelled, meaning is it purely going to be used for an administrative misconduct case, or is it purely voluntary because there is a question that the conduct could possibly be criminal. If the conduct could possibly be criminal, then the person has a right to remain silent under Miranda and the Beckwith decision from the Supreme Court. But the problem is if you have the right to remain silent, then you're supposed to remain silent. The problem with Ms. Lerner's testimony before the House committee was that she proclaimed at the outset in her opening statement that she hadn't done anything wrong. And then obviously the Congress, you know, the majority on the committee have interpreted that statement, that declaration, to be a waiver of her Fifth Amendment rights. Now, I think, you know, she's obviously represented by counsel, so if she's hauled back up to the Hill to give further testimony, which I'm sure she will be very soon, if she, exercises her right to remain silent, can she be compelled to answer questions because she's waived her rights? So I think, you know, this fight is not over yet, but it is a very important area that all federal employees really need to keep in mind in terms of what their rights and responsibilities are when they are under investigation, either as the subject or target of an investigation or even as a witness.
So if you are found to be not covered by the Fifth and then you are compelled to answer questions and you still don't because you think you are, then does that get you into contempt of Congress, which is pretty legally dangerous also?
That's right. That's exactly what happens. If you are compelled to answer and your answers will not be used against you criminally and you refuse to answer the question, then you're going to be brought up on contempt charges for failing to answer Congress's questions. So that could be, you know, that in and of itself can be considered a criminal act.
And is it possible for Congress to create, when calling someone up to testify, to create like a fire break such that the person can be assured that it's only administrative, and even though it could be resulting in termination, but that it won't make that leap over to something that could be prosecutable?
Yeah, and that's what the executive branch does all the time. You know, the executive branch gives Garrity warnings to their employees when they're going to be questioned for misconduct investigations that say specifically, you're being compelled to answer questions about your official conduct in this matter. You must answer all the questions that you're asked. If you fail to do so, then you can be removed or removed for insubordination or failure to follow an order. If you answer all the questions and you do so truthfully, then you will not be prosecuted for your answers. However, you can face administrative misconduct and discipline up to and including removal, but you can't be prosecuted. However, even if you get that Garrity warning, if you lie about your conduct or the conduct of others, then you can be prosecuted for a false statement in a matter of official interest, which is also a felony. So this is a very complicated area of law, and folks who are placed under investigation should seek competent legal advice from an attorney who is experienced in this area as soon as they learn that they're under investigation.
All right, and just not to take it to the absurd level, but suppose you are under a Garrity warning and then you admit that you murdered the contractor or something, then what happens?
Well, if you've been given use immunity because the government has compelled you to answer that question, then you cannot be prosecuted in that scenario, even if you admit to the murder.
Wow.
So the government has to be very careful when giving use immunity that, you know, they've considered the criminal implications of the conduct that they're investigating. So, you know, it's important on both parties' parts that, you know, you walk very carefully into this minefield in terms of whether this is a criminal investigation or whether this is purely an administrative investigation. And if you make one false move one way or the other, it could have major implications.
John Mahoney is chairman of the labor and employment practice of the law firm Tully Rinke. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.